Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Avengers Assemble. Welcome, everyone, to another Council of Trent episode. I am your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker Trent Horn, coming to you from my hotel room here in Bismarck, North Dakota. Brought along my little recorder, though I see it's flashing. Okay, we got two battery indicators, not just one. I thought I brought enough equipment for me. I got my little cables here, got my microphone. One thing I don't have, spare batteries. I guess I could always run down to the store, but I am wiped from going to the movies and just getting out of Avengers Endgame. So I thought, you know what? It's Free For All Friday. We haven't had a Free For All Friday in a few weeks, what with Good Friday and coming down from Lent. I myself have been slammed with work. I'm here in Bismarck completing my master's degree in bioethics at the University of Mary. So that involves a final case study with the other students, giving a speech at a colloquium on my capstone research project. My research project was actually on compelled speech at abortion-related facilities. So the question I wanted to answer was, when can the government require someone to say something with which they personally disagree or they don't want to say? Because in California, we had that law in 2015. Thankfully, it was overturned by the Supreme Court in 2018. They had a law saying that a pregnancy resource center, you know, pro-life pregnancy centers, had to tell women where they could go get an abortion because, oh, we don't want women to be deceived and women have to have access to abortion, even if that involves conscripting pro-life advocates to turn them into de facto abortion providers. So I addressed that and showed where the Supreme Court was correct in overturning that law and how some people have said, okay, well, if you can't tell a pro-life pregnancy center what to say, then the government can't tell an abortionist what to say. It can't tell an abortionist like in South Dakota that you have to tell a woman that abortion ends the life of a whole separate, unique, living human being. No, they're two separate, completely different cases, which I explore at length in my capstone paper and in my colloquium speech here for my final presentation to be finally done with my master's in bioethics, my third master's degree. After this, I need to take a break just for a little bit. I'm sure my wife, you hear that clapping off in the distance as my wife saying, yeah, you bet. Let's take a break from the schooling just for a little bit. There may be time down the line to do more. I'd love to get a PhD, but I don't want to travel out of the country to do that. I don't want to relocate my family to some other university here in the United States. I'll leave that up to God. I'll take some time off and I'll let him guide me where he wants me to go. So that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in Bismarck. And I posted on social media before I went into the movie, I showed my tickets. I did the same thing with Infinity War. I got to see that with some friends in Phoenix. And so we went and I, you know, showed my little tickets and went in there. And I was so excited both for Infinity War and for Endgame to be able to go on opening night because I absolutely hate spoilers. I hate spoilers. When it comes to big momentous movies like this. Other movies, I'll see the trailer. I don't mind if I'm not particularly invested in it. So today, I wanted to talk about my review of Endgame, what I thought, you know, going, being here, going and doing that. Comic book movies, cinematic universes. This is a real free-for-all Friday. I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this. But, you know, if you like these things, feel free to continue listening. If you're not as big a fan of this, maybe it's not the episode for you, but I'm always grateful for your support anyways at Free For All Fridays and other episodes at TrenthornPodcast.com. So be sure to go and check that out. But I thought, you know what? I wanted to debrief with you. Imagine, you know, that I got back from my trip and I could sit down with you and tell you what I thought of the movie, what I thought of cinematic universes and everything else. So here's number one. Here's a funny thing. When I posted my ticket online, I originally, when Endgame was slated to come out, it was slated to come out next week. So I was looking forward to buying my tickets, going with all my friends, hopefully my wife in San Diego, make a big deal of it. But then it got moved a week. During the same week, I had to be in Bismarck, North Dakota to finish my master's degree in bioethics. So I remember when the tickets went on sale, I got my immediate notification from Fandango to, you know, saying, hey, tell me immediately when there's tickets because they're going to sell out in an hour. And I get it, and I look, and there's only one movie theater in Bismarck that offers the Fandango tickets, and that's the AMC Classic 8 in Bismarck, North Dakota. I couldn't get really tickets anywhere else, so I bought the tickets there. Thursday afternoon, I went to pick up my tickets. I couldn't even find the movie theater. I thought at first it had closed down. And I was like, what? the cosmic scales of balance so I can't see it on Thursday night, but it was this little hockety-pockety movie theater in the middle of a strip mall that I could barely find. And, you know, so I found it, got my tickets, finished the final case study discussions with my colleagues and the other fellow students at University of Mary, then hopped in my car, drove straight to the movie theater. And I'm driving, and it's rush hour in Bismarck, which means on little two lanes, there's a few extra cars. But even still, I'm like, come on. I got to get there early. I got to get seats. Because this normally, when I get these seats, I love assigned seating. I love now that you can reserve a seat in a movie theater. Though it does take away a little bit of the magic for me. Because the longest I ever waited for a movie in line, I waited 12 hours. 12 hours with a group of friends. I'm pretty sure this was high school or early college when this came out, for Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. So Return of the King, let's look at it right now. Return of the King, what year did that come out? I want to say it was, I think I had to go back to college. I had to go back to take a final exam. So I want to say it was like 2004, 2005. Let's see, Return of the King. It was 2003. Okay, it was 2003. When it came out, but I remember I had to go back to school to take an exam and come back, and my friends held my place in line. But we were there. We waited 12 hours outside of the Harkins at the Arizona Mills Mall to see that movie. But now with reserved seating, you don't really have to do that. And I kind of miss it a little bit. So I didn't have reserved seating, so I drove there. I'm like, oh, I hope they have seats. And I got there an hour and a half early, and the entire auditorium was empty. There was nobody there. So I sat down, and actually some friends from San Diego had relocated to Bismarck, and I invited them to come with me because I bought extra tickets when I reserved them. I didn't know how expensive it would be. The tickets turned out, this is what was so funny. I posted the tickets on Facebook and Twitter, and the number one comment I got from them was that my adult ticket for an evening showing of Avengers Endgame was $5.99. People were stunned. How do you find a ticket that cheap? Well, first is North Dakota. Cost of living here is a little bit lower than other places. I mean, I live in California, where everything basically costs you an arm and a leg. And you have to make sure you give your arm and a leg in a way that it's recyclable, compostable, and doesn't kill off some stupid fish species, endangered fish or something like that. Things are expensive where I live. And then here, it's like, whoa, what in the world? I go to the store and milk, you know, doesn't cost $5 a gallon. Gas doesn't cost $4 a gallon. So it blows my mind a bit. But beyond that, this theater was kind of a bit run down. Sound quality wasn't that great. Screen was okay, but it was good enough for me because I just wanted to be there for opening night. I just wanted to know. I did not want to have to dodge spoilers, for the rest of the day or, you know, anything like that. So, or for the rest of the weekend going to see it. So I saw the movie, and I'm not going to give away spoilers here in this review. Because some of you might want to go see the movie. My wife might be listening, and I've told her, don't read about the plot summaries. Don't go online. Don't look up anything. Just wait. We're going on Sunday with our friends. Wait. It will be worth it. But I will say this. I really enjoyed Endgame, though I enjoyed it as kind of a love letter to Marvel fans. That it was a perfect way to kind of end Phase 3, end the first 10 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that was focused on what is called the Infinity Saga. Something that is focused on these Infinity Stones, Thanos, the things that unite all these disparate characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It was a movie. What was interesting about it is if you went into this movie thinking it was going to be a big superhero beat-em-up, kind of like an Infinity War, like Infinity War has more fight scenes in it. It's not like that, but I appreciate, in fact, the first act was kind of slow, but I appreciated that because it was building up for emotional payoffs later in the movie. And so that's what I like to be able to see in this movie, that, and it had really good emotional payoffs. I cried in this movie. Now I probably built up the hype a little bit for myself when I did that. But these are characters, you know, you've grown with since for the past 10 years, and they do such a good job of making them realistic characters with interlocking storylines throughout a wider cinematic universe. So if you haven't seen the bigger cinematic universe, you'll be hopelessly lost watching this movie. But Marvel's at the point where they're like, oh, you're lost? That's your problem, not mine. We can do whatever we want now. We're Marvel. So I appreciate it, though. However, when it gets to Act 3... I will say that the final fight in Act 3 is on par with the other fights in Infinity War, and probably, I would say, a little bit better. Though there were some of the fights in Infinity War, like the fight on Titan between Thanos and half of the Avengers, you know, Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Galaxy of the Guardian, Doctor Strange. I thought that one was executed a bit more artfully than some of the stuff in Endgame, but still, it blows you away, and you get the feels throughout the entire movie. Now, I will say, if you go and see it, the movie required a fantastic amount of suspension of disbelief. Now, I'm used to suspending disbelief in these movies. You know, particularly, it's a comic book movie. You got to suspend disbelief just a little bit. But here, and I'll talk about a few things that I think it's clear that if you look at, I'll give away one. No, I'm not going to give away a spoiler. I'm not going to give away. I mean, I think you can figure it out. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. The point is, things related to science fiction and superhero things that normally require suspension of disbelief, you need even more of that for logical paradoxes, other things like that. You need a fair amount of it. But for me, that's okay, because this movie wasn't trying to be consistent in that way. It was trying to tie up all the different ends in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for what they were trying to do. And this is a testament to Marvel doing it right and other studios bungling the idea of a cinematic universe. And they look at the idea of a cinematic universe, interconnected stories within movies, as a way just to make money. And this is actually an old concept. If you go back to, I think it's Universal. Universal, back in the 1930s, had a cinematic universe, the monster universe, that Dracula and the Mummy and the werewolf, those old 1930s Universal monster movies, they all existed in the same universe. So they could meet one another. And that was something that Universal tried to relaunch here recently with the reboot of The Mummy with Tom Cruise, which was absolutely horrendous. That the best Mummy movie is the one with Brendan Fraser back in the, I think it's like the late 1990s. It was fun. It was campy. The one with Tom Cruise, it's just terrible. And what's amazing is that their dark universe, trying to relaunch the old 1930s monster universe, it failed because that movie failed. And so that's why Endgame is, Robert Downey Jr. plays an important part in Avengers Endgame, as you can imagine, because he, as Iron Man, got the Marvel Cinematic Universe started. If Iron Man had failed back in 2008, there would be no Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because here's the thing, you had Iron Man, then you had The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, which was not a great movie. The only thing that carried that movie, though, was the post-credit scene where Robert Downey Jr. shows up and talks about putting together a team, you know, to take from the post-credit scene from his movie. That was the goodwill that carried people forward to Avengers 2012 and allowed the MCU to really take off. If it had failed, we wouldn't have the 22-film MCU universe that we have today. Absolutely would not. So Robert Downey Jr. plays an important part in the whole MCU, and so he plays a very important part in Endgame. I want to keep going, but I'm seeing the one light indicator flashing on my recording device here. I just don't want to cut off midway. So I think that's all I'm going to put out for now. I think, you know, I'm having a lot of fun doing a lot of work up here. Pray for me for the program and graduation and then getting back in the swing of everything. Pray for my family while I'm away. I miss them dearly. So I really wish they could have, you know, my wife could have been with me. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie with her, but yeah, I just thought today would be fun just to share with you, you know, you, my friends, this is what I thought of going to the comic book movies and, you know, really taking all of it in. And I will say, what was worth it, for the past 4 months, I have avoided trailers. I have avoided, articles. I went in completely blind, almost blind. And that made it so much more worthwhile to me. So if you're thinking of seeing this movie, resist the urge to read about spoilers, read reviews, go and check it out. I will say this, however, if you are not a big Marvel fan, it's easy to get lost. I would recommend going on YouTube, search MCU recap video. They're like a half hour long. They summarize the whole MCU. I would recommend watching one of those and probably watching Infinity War itself before going to Endgame, because Endgame works as a nice kind of like a nightcap, like an end cap Endgame to, it really is part two to Infinity War. It's not that standalone, but it's part two to Infinity War and the series finale for the Marvel Cinematic Universe at least at this particular phase. So those are my thoughts. I hope you appreciated it. Leave your comments, what you thought, if you've seen the movie or other thoughts about the MCU and cinematic universes. I've already talked about the DCEU. Maybe I'll compare that maybe in a future episode. But for now, I'd rather just sign off before I get abruptly shut off here on my equipment. You all are great. I appreciated you being with me here on Free For All Friday. And we've also, just by the way, more debates and dialogues lined up. Super excited about that. Someone's going to come in. We're going to talk about my article, Does God Make People Gay? They have a critical view of that. I've also got someone who's thinking of coming on who's a Christian who denies Jesus' resurrection. So that'll be a fun conversation. So we're moving forward here on the podcast to equip you to explain and defend the faith by modeling how to have these debates and dialogues with people who do disagree with the faith. But of course, on Friday, we can take a little break and have some fun. And I hope you had fun with me today, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.